live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the charity's regulator has imposed intermediate sanctions on the Good and News shop in Letterkenny. The minister with responsibility for flooding says the refurbishment of homes and houses for local authority tenants is a matter for Donegal County Council. Letterkenny University Hospital is the third most overcrowded hospital in the country today. And Donegal County Council has announced plans to implement new safety measures outside Ballyrain National School in Letterkenny. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news, the charity's regulator has imposed intermediate sanctions on the Good and News shop in Letterkenny. The regulator issued the notice to the Good and News shop following an on-site inspection by staff from the regulator's compliance and enforcement unit, which found that the charity is not in compliance with its legal obligation to keep proper books off account. Catherine Gaffney reports.
The notice, which was accepted by the trustees of the charity yesterday, requires the Good News charity to rectify the contravention no later than Monday, March 26th. The charity's regulator says this must involve introduction of formal procedures for maintaining adequate accounting records, with the task of keeping proper books assigned to someone with the appropriate skills and experience. Regulator financial reporting detailing both income and assets and liabilities is also called for. The charity's regulator, Chief Executive John Farley, says while he notes the good work undertaken by the charity in providing much-needed transport services to cancer patients, the trustees must take immediate steps to ensure proper books of account are being maintained. Failure to comply, he says, may lead to a prosecution being brought against the charity.
Responding, a spokesperson for the Good and New charity said it is run by a group of volunteers who provide a much needed service in Donegal and have only the best interests of those they serve at heart. They say the volunteers are working hard to implement the changes requested within the time period specified, and this is at an advanced stage. The statement concludes everyone involved is keen to ensure these changes are in place as soon as possible so that the Good and New charity can focus on continuing its work for those who depend on its services in Donegal. Talks to restore power sharing in the north have broken down over the Irish language. In a statement, the DUP says that serious and significant gaps remain between the party and Sinn Féin, and it will not agree to a freestanding Irish language act. Arlene Foster has called on the British government to set a budget and start making policy decisions. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says Ms Foster's decision is unfortunate.
We've been engaging with the party. There has been progress made. These aren't even green and orange issues. These are issues of basic rights. There are issues of identity. There are issues of, you know, that are accepted on both islands. And there's no reason that we can't have those rights. Rights that were agreed by the DUP, remember. These are all commitments.
Residents of Tory Island staged a protest outside the Dáil today as part of their campaign for a new purpose-built ferry to serve the island. The contract for the current service is due to cease on the 1st of April and be replaced by the Queen of Arran, a 40-year-old vessel which islanders fear will not provide an adequate service. A number of meetings have taken place with Gaeltacht and Islands Minister Joe McHugh, and today the residents took their campaign to Dublin. Marjorie Carroll is Community Development Manager of Tory Island Co-op. Earlier she spoke with Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show.
Not accepting the Queen of Arran, it won't be allowed to come into Tory Island at all. It won't get that far to the pier. So we have a clear message now that we're not happy with it at all, and we will be looking for a proper ferry service for Tory Island, and I think it's only right that we would get that.
If there were to be a compromise, would the current ferry continuing in service be a acceptable interim measure?
Well, that would be acceptable, but I'm not sure whether that will be agreed or not. So we're hopeful that we'll get a resolution in the next couple of weeks. But I suppose our main aim is the 1st of April is approaching very fast, so we're not accepting the Queen of Arran on Tory. So that's the main message we want to put out.
Donegal County Council has announced plans to implement new safety measures outside Ballyrea National School in Letterkenny. There have been ongoing fears that a child may be seriously injured crossing the road at the school, following reports of motorists jumping the red light. New measures due to come into force include additional signage and lining, as well as plans to eliminate parking on the footpath at school drop-off times. The council say the provision of a traffic warden is incompatible with the existing Pelican crossing. However, Mayor of Letterkenny, Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, says the situation will continue to be monitored.
These now are going to be implemented, and they're going to be implemented fairly quickly as far as I can tell, and the school are happy for now to go with that, and on balance the school feel that it's a better solution than the traffic warden, because the traffic warden would only be for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening, and wouldn't cater for things outside that, for example, if a child was late or if a child had to leave school early.
So is it a case that we'll see how these safety measures go in terms of addressing the situation, and perhaps maybe the idea of a traffic warden may be looked at again into the future?
Yes, Catherine, the council have agreed on that, and the school have agreed on that, and I'm in agreement with that we monitor the situation. The school will monitor it very, very closely. And if there is any concerns that these measures are not significantly improving safety in the area, that we can go back and revisit it with the council again. But I would say, Catherine, that I'm grateful to Fergal Doherty and the road design team and the council. They put a considerable amount of work into this, and they've come up with a number of recommendations, and a number of new safety measures are going to be implemented that we didn't previously have. So that's certainly progress.
Letterkenny University Hospital is the third most overcrowded hospital in the country today. 43 people were waiting on a bed at the hospital, 30 patients on trolleys in the hospital's emergency department, with a further 13 on wards or in overflow areas. Cork University Hospital is the most overcrowded in the country, with 58 people awaiting admission. Opposition TDs are calling for a dáil vote on the new national planning framework. They're accusing the Taoiseach of rushing the announcement to avoid having to be accountable to the Oireachtas. The plan, which will outline the development of the country up to 2040, is to be launched in Sligo on Friday. Labour leader Brendan Howland says it's another case of ministers looking after their own.
Where proper planning is to be undermined by the intervention of ministers with the sharpest elbows. So Minister Boxer-Mourne gets to announce a new capital for the Midlands. Sligo and Athlone have been promoted to the Champions League as regional capitals. Letterkenny, Dundalk and Drogheda are to be given some scraps as so-called designated centres of growth.
The minister with responsibility for flooding says the refurbishment of homes and houses for local authority tenants is a matter for Donegal County Council. A statement has been issued by Minister Kevin Boxer-Mourne following an outcry this week when tenants at an estate in Burnfoot were told their homes would not be refurbished this year and they should move their possessions from the houses as security is being withdrawn. In the statement, Minister Mourne also confirms that the OPW is reassessing the possible options to manage the risk of flooding in Burnfoot in light of flooding last August and again in December. The senior Garda officer in Cork has said an investigation into a 40% rise in house burglaries in Cork shows that on one occasion, a car involved in burglaries in Cork was tracked to both Dublin and Donegal on the same day. Chief Superintendent Barry Poland was speaking to the Evening Echo newspaper. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The Chief Superintendent told the Evening Echo that gangs with high-powered cars have been targeting houses across Cork City and North Cork over the past 4 months, but he said progress had been made on the problem, with Leinster-based gangs being targeted. He said areas around the motorway were being particularly targeted by criminals who are in and out very quickly. Chief Superintendent Mac Poland said one gang was targeted in a joint operation with Dublin Garda divisions. There were 4 to 5 young men and a driver. He said some people have now been charged. Chief Superintendent Mac Poland highlighted the instance of a car involved in burglaries being spotted in Cork and then being traced to Dublin and onto Donegal all in one day. The Chief Superintendent superintendent said they escaped the net in Cork, but then Gardaí got information that the car was in Dublin that day, and by night time, the car was monitored in Donegal.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's 12 minutes past five. Time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer. The LYT suffered defeat in the Colleges and Universities Division 1 League semi-final this afternoon. The Letterkenny side lost 2-1 to LIT at Limerick's Moylish Park ground. LYT were chasing the game from the start of the second half as they trailed 2-0. Dean Larkin pulled a goal back, but they couldn't find an equaliser that would send the game to extra time. Limerick had two players sent off and finished the game with 9 men. LYT manager Shane Byrne was disappointed with their first half performance.
I mean, for us, we didn't start the game the way we intended starting it. The first half, we didn't, you know, we went out to press the Limerick high up the pitch, and we didn't do that. We took too many touches out of the ball. We didn't want enough first and second balls when the striking balls. You know, just at half time, we had a harsh look at ourselves. And in the second half, to be fair to the boys, they played a lot better in the second half. And, you know, second half, they scored twice in the first half. Second half, I don't think they were near half, maybe three times, but we couldn't get that second goal. We had a post from a free kick, and we had a lot of goal mouth scrambles and stuff. But, I mean, to be fair, if you only play for 45 minutes in the semi-final of a competition at that level, you've not won money, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose as well, Shane, the longer it went on, the more frustrating it got.
The ball was getting very frustrating, Oisin, because, I mean, there was, towards the end, there was just one team on it. They were getting frustrated, they got undisciplined, and towards the end, they got two players sent off for off the ball and stuff again. I mean, it was just very one-sided the second half. A lot more so than it was in the first half and the end of it, you know, but I'm saying that the first half cost us a game. You know, we couldn't break them down in the second half, and to be fair, a lot of times there was goal mouth scrambles for the ball, just came and fell to one of their players, not to one of hers, you know. It wasn't to be in a day to get a thing for us, you know. And that wee bit of luck that you might need to get a second, because if we'd have got a second, there was only going to be one winner, you know, when it went to extra time.
Shane Byrne, LYT manager, and the disappointment of losing out in that league semi-final today. Liverpool will hope to put one foot in the Champions League quarter-finals tonight. The Reds have travelled to Portugal for the first leg of their last 16 encounter against Porto. It is the Merseysiders' first appearance in the knockout stages since 2009. Porto are appearing in the last 16 for the third time in 4 years. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp says they need to be at their best to take a decent scoreline into the home leg.
We believe in Anfield. We really know that Anfield is a place where the crowd can make the difference, and that's what we will want to use in the second game. But for that, we need a result in the first game. So we will fight.
Kickoff time to that is at 7:45. At the same time, defending champions Real Madrid welcome big spending Paris Saint-Germain to the Bernabeu. In Gaelic games, Tyrone wingback Tiernan McCann is set to miss the rest of the Alliance Football League. Red Hand County boss Mickey Hart says the 2017 All-Star nominee suffered a broken kneecap during the weekend's victory over Kildare. McCann also broke his hand during last summer's All-Ireland semi-final defeat to Dublin. UCD can reach their third successive Sigerton Cup final this evening. They take on University Ulster Jordanstown in Inishkeen, while NUI Galway face DIT and Mullingar in the other semi-final. Both of those games thrown at 7 o'clock tonight. Kilcar's Owen McHugh is expected to line out from the start for Jordanstown. Tyrone's Rory Brennan, Ronan McNamee and Lee Brennan were among the goals in Ulster's one in the quarterfinals and will look to be on the score sheet tonight again, while Aru's Colm Kelly is part of the NUI Galway side that will face DIT. Irish Olympic rower Claire Lamb has announced her international retirement at the age of 27. Lamb and Donegal's Sinead Lynch were sixth in the lightweight women's double sculls final at the Rio Olympics in 2016. The pair were the first Irish women's crew to compete in an Olympic final. Highlands Athletics correspondent and recently retired Irish Olympic team manager Patsy McGonigal will be the keynote speaker at the Athletics Ireland Youth Star Awards this coming Saturday evening in Tullamore. He will follow the president of European Athletics, Sven Arne Hansen, who was the popular guest speaker at last year's awards. Craig Gilroy has committed his future to Ulster Rugby until the end of the 2021 season by signing a contract extension. The Ireland winger, who has scored 57 tries in his 158 appearances for his home province, has been in impressive form this season with 9 tries in 9 games. 22-year-old back row Nick Timoney has also agreed a new senior contract at the Kingspan Stadium as well. Jimmy Heaslip looks set to resume his rugby career in the coming weeks. Reports claim the Ireland and Leinster number 8 will be back in action towards the end of March. Heaslip has not played since withdrawing from last year's Six Nations against England with what was later identified as a complicated back problem. And finally this evening, just a reminder, listeners, that the GA programme tonight will air here in Highland, as from 8:30 Tom Comack will be looking ahead to this weekend's Dr. McKenna Cup final, where he'll be speaking to Tyrone's Callum McShane and Donegal's Eamon Doherty. Plus, he'll also get the thoughts of Brendan Devaney ahead of this weekend's fixture, which throws in at 6 o'clock at the Athletic Grounds this coming Saturday evening between Donegal and Tyrone. A match, of course, that will also be featured live here on Highland. I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisin. The new courthouse in Letterkenny appears to be already causing parking problems for those living in the area. It follows concern raised by residents living on Orchard Row who are having difficulty parking their cars outside their properties, with spaces in their private car park already taken up by people attending the courthouse. Councillor Jerry McMonagall believes that residents' rights should be protected.
McLaughlin Way there, John McLaughlin Way in the town. There is a number of apartment blocks there which are privately owned and have their own parking areas. A number of residents from them apartments actually approached me in the last 2 weeks and took me down to show me problems that was being posed by people who were attending the courthouse block in Emmons, and that they couldn't get in or out of their parking base. On the day they took me down, I have to say that there was actually 2 Garda Síochána cars were also parked on this road. This is a cul-de-sac. It's a fairly main pedestrian thoroughfare going down from the high road to the port road and across to the regional cultural centre. I believe there's ample parking around the courthouse and that we should not. I would ask people be mindful of this, including in Garda Síochána and indeed the workers at Optimum who are in Spencer House there, to be more considerate than where they park their cars.
While the council have said it's not exactly in their remit to designate an area for residential only parking, is the idea of more traffic wardens to be situated in and around that area doing more patrols maybe a solution?
The fact that the apartments are privately owned, they could issue permits so that if the traffic warden is coming up and doing his normal duties or her normal duties, that if they see cars that haven't got the permit and they're parked there over a period of time and impeding the cars already there, that they could issue tickets. I think also the council, as they've done in all areas of the town, could erect residents only parking signs. If you're going to the court service, park behind the theatre, or hopefully now in the next week, 10 days, when the new county council car park opens up in the former fire station site, to use that. And I would appeal to the Gardaí directly. If any Gardaís travelling into the court service in Letterkenny, they park their cars in Letterkenny Garda station.
Almost 70% of vacant commercial properties in Donegal have been empty for over 3 years, according to the GeoDirectory Commercial Vacancy Report, which has just been published. In the final quarter of last year, Donegal's commercial vacancy rate was just over 15%, compared to a national rate of 13%. Once again, Ballybofey is the town with the highest commercial vacancy rate in Ireland at nearly 30%. Dara Keogh is CEO of GeoDirectory. He says the Donegal figure is coming down year on year.
The national average is running at 13.2 and Donegal is running at about 15.1. So it is higher, but at least it's decreasing at a faster rate. It came down by 0.5%, where nationally it only came down by 0.3%. Now, I don't want to exaggerate the significance of that because it's very marginal, but at least it's moving in the right direction. And as you say, unfortunately, Ballybofey is still out there holding the title of the town with the highest level of vacancies at 28.8%. On the other hand, there was some good news. Within Donegal, Punchrana was down to 13%. 17.4%. And also Letterkenny had seen a significant drop. It was gone down from 21.4% to 18%, so a drop of just over 2.5%. It means at least it's starting to move in the right direction.
One worrying element must be the fact that of the vacant premises across Donegal, almost 70% of them have been vacant for more than 3 years. And that's got to be a worry. 3 years vacant is serious.
What we're seeing is a very high level of long-term vacancy in the commercial side. Nationally, it's just about 68%. And in Donegal, it's just over that. It's nearly 70%, as you said. So 7 in 10 of the buildings that are vacant have been vacant for 3 or more years. We can identify where what town they're in, what street they are in. And so that could be useful for, you know, people to look at those spaces and see how they can innovate around them.
A major jobs boost is on the way for the North West with the creation of 170 jobs at O'Neill Sportswear in Strabane. It's after Derry and Strabane District Council's Planning Committee approved plans for a new storage, distribution and shop complex at the facility. A total of 600 people are already employed at the company. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says O'Neill's is a major player in the region and this announcement is proof that the brand believes in the local skilled workforce.
That's a fantastic investment for this place, a fantastic investment in people and in Strabane, and something that I'm certainly very, very excited about. I'm a huge supporter of the O'Neill's project and their expansion, their vision for Ireland and for the company and Tyrone. This is a fantastic starting point. Once again, Kieran Kennedy and his team at O'Neill's is leading the way in terms of investment here west of the Ban.
For weather now, blustery this evening with some bright or sunny spells and showers, with the showers becoming more frequent towards nightfall, some of hail and thunder. Minimum temperatures of 0 to 2 degrees with a risk of frost and icy patches. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the charities regulator has imposed intermediate sanctions on the Good & News shop in Letterkenny. The regulator issued the notice to the Good & News shop following an on-site inspection by staff from the regulator's compliance and enforcement unit, which found that the charity is not in compliance with its legal obligation to keep proper books of account. Letterkenny University Hospital is the third most overcrowded hospital in the country today. 43 people were waiting on a bed at the hospital, 30 patients on trolleys in the hospital's emergency department, with a further 13 on wards or in overflow areas. Residents of Tory Island staged a protest outside the Dáil today as part of their campaign for a new purpose-built ferry to serve the island. The contract for the current service is due to cease on the 1st of April and be replaced by the Queen of Arran, a 40-year-old vessel which islanders fear will not provide an adequate service. And talks to restore power sharing in the north have collapsed over the Irish language. In a statement, the DUP says that serious and significant gaps remain between the party and Sinn Féin, and it will not agree to a freestanding Irish Language Act. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 14th of February. The death has taken place of Michael Boyce, Tulsk, Castlereagh, and formerly of Letterkenny. His remains will repose at O'Connor's Funeral Home, Tulsk, from 7:30 this evening, leaving there to arrive at the Church of St. Ethna and Fidelma, Tulsk, at 9:00 this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, with burial afterwards in Tulsk Cemetery. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Nancy Cassie McBride, White Cross Road, Ranafast. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6:00 this evening. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. Rosary nightly at 9:00. House private pleas from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to ICU Surgical 1 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Stephen O'Donnell and Sons funeral directors. The death has occurred at her residence of Mary Teresa Teasy Harkin, late of Falmore Glenealy. Her remains are reposing at her nephew George McLaughlin's residence at Falmore Glenealy. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for 11:00 Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church, Balnacrae, Lakemi, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m.